Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
They're trying to move us, everybody, away from God, but God is the answer to every problem this world has today. Amen? The title of my message today is Palm Sunday, The Journey to the Cross. The Journey to the Cross. And we're at John chapter 12 today again. We're going to start in verse 9 in a moment. But the passage of scripture that we're going to read today is about Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's one of the few incidents in Jesus's life that was reported in all four of the Gospels. And it marks the beginning of his journey to the cross. And throughout his three-year ministry, we often hear Jesus say that his time had not yet come. You remember when his mother tried to get him to turn the water, to do something about the lack of wine that they had at the family festival, the wedding. He said, "Woman, my time has not yet come. I'm not ready for that." And there were times where he told him, keep silent about the miracles because his time had not yet come. But this was different. This time, Jesus would allow the people to praise him publicly. This was the day that he would make his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. And the church calls this day all around the world Palm Sunday because of the palms that were waved by the people as Jesus rode into the city on the back of a donkey. It was a turning point. And when he enters into Jerusalem, Jesus begins this journey to the cross that we're going to talk about today. Let's read John chapter 12, verse 9, all the way through verse 19 and read the story together. It says, "Now a great crowd of the Jews heard that he was at Bethany, and they came there, not only because of Jesus, but because that they also might see Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on the account of him, many of the Jews were going away, were withdrawing from and leaving the Judeans and believing in and adhering to Jesus. The next day, a vast crowd of those who had come to the Passover feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him. And as they went, they kept shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is he, and praise to him who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus, having found a young donkey, rode upon it, just as it is written in the scriptures, 'Do not fear, O daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand and could not comprehend the meaning of these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified and exalted, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The group that had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from among the dead kept telling it, bearing witness to others." So the word started spreading. Verse 18, "For it was for this reason that the crowd went out to meet him, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, proof, miracle. Verse 19, "Then the Pharisees said among themselves, 'You see how futile your efforts are and how you accomplish nothing. See, the whole world is running after him.'" Today, the whole world should be running after him. Look what he did. We are running after him with every breath in our body. We're continuing to follow him and do what he's called us to do, go where he's told us to go, amen? But in that day, hundreds of thousands of pilgrims had gathered in and around Jerusalem during the Passover. Many of these same people heard that Jesus was in Bethany with Lazarus that had been risen from the dead. And the crowds of people came out to see them both. Jesus's popularity at that point was at its peak. And it drove the religious crowd wild with envy. They could tell that they were losing their control over the people. You see, the Sanhedrin and the other Jewish leaders wanted Jesus dead, but they didn't want to kill him during the Passover time because they feared stirring up the multitudes that believed in him. So they were trying to manage the situation. They were what they would call damage control. But they were in the wrong place, right? See, Jesus entered the city on his own time, and he forced the whole issue that it might happen exactly on the Passover day when the lambs were being slaughtered. At that very time when they're trying to kill Jesus, they were bringing their own lambs. These people that were coming for the Passover were actually bringing a lamb that they had cared for maybe the whole year long, and they brought their little fluffy or whatever it was, their best. And they brought it to be sacrificed, because this is what they did, this annual Passover celebration. This is what they did. So in God's perfect timing, at the precise time, foreordained from eternity, Jesus began his journey to the cross to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And by this action, he presented himself officially to the nation as Messiah and as the Son of God. The triumphal entry of Jesus was on the 10th day of the Jewish month of Nisan. Not the car, the month. Just trying to bring a little light, it's a serious subject. This was the day on which the Passover lamb was to be set apart or kept up until that 14th day of the same month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel were to kill it in the evening. This annual Passover celebrated their miraculous deliverance from over 400 years of Egyptian bondage. This was what they were doing that day. Let's turn to Psalms 118. And you see, to announce that he was indeed the Messiah, Jesus chose a time when all of Israel would be gathered at Jerusalem. I'll be coming back to John, so you don't have to, you might want to hang on to part of that. This was a place where the huge crowds would see him, and it was a way of proclaiming his mission that was unmistakable. Remember I told you, he told them to keep it silent, but now this is not silent. This was a moment in time that had been predestined, ordained from eternity. Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was a decision back in time, and here it was being done, acted out, and we're reading about it today, how this is what was about to happen. Psalms 118, we're going to read verse 21 through 26. I will confess, praise, and give thanks to you, for you have heard and answered me. You have become my salvation and deliverer. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is from the Lord, and it is his doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has brought about. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, we beseech you, O Lord, and send now prosperity. O Lord, we beseech you, and give us success. So this is what was happening that day. Psalms 115 all the way through Psalms 118 were traditionally sung at the Passover meal. And the people that were singing it that day had to have some understanding of the significance of that moment that they were seeing acted out in the streets going towards Jerusalem. Jesus began his journey to the cross during this last week on earth by riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. You see, conquering kings would ride on in on a war horse or on a golden chariot. And one day Jesus is coming back on a white horse. But this day, because, you know, horses were symbols of war, but donkeys were symbols of peace, and they were often used to enact treaties. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11 and see this. Because Jesus, the King of Peace, rode into Jerusalem on a domesticated donkey. He came to bring salvation to the entire world, not just to one nation. We're going to read Mark chapter 11, read verse 1 through 10. I think it's important that we commemorate this moment and remember it. This is what the Jewish people were taught to do. They had celebratory feasts that were happening that the whole nation participated in. I think it was three of them, big ones every year, and then others throughout the year. And they were required to read certain things and stand and hear the word of the Lord. So it's important that we remember these things and realize these things just didn't happen in a corner. The whole world of that day knew what was going on. Amen? Mark 11, we're going to read verse 1 through 10. And all today I've been reading through the Amplified Bible. Beginning in verse 1, we're going to go all the way down to verse 10. And when they were getting near to Jerusalem, this is another account of the similar story about Jesus going into the city, but it gives you a little more background of how they got that colt. And when they were getting near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent ahead two of his disciples and instructed them, "Go into the village in front of you, and as soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied which had never been ridden by anyone. Unfasten it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' answer, 'The Lord needs it, and he will send it back here presently.' So they went away and found a colt tied at the door out in the winding open street, and they loosed it. And some who were standing there said to him, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They replied as Jesus had directed them, and they allowed them to go." What did he tell them? The master needs it, right? The Lord needs it. Verse 7, "And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their outer garments upon it, and he sat on it. And many of the people spread their garments on the road, and others scattered a layer of leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out with a cry of happiness, 'Hosanna, be graciously inclined, propitious to him. Praised and blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed and blessed in the name of the Lord is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna, save us in the highest.'" So this word Hosanna means save us. See, Jesus rode in under a canopy of palm branches with crowds hailing him as their king. Now these palm branches were from the date palm probably, and they were a celebratory symbol of the Jewish nation. That was a figure of symbol for them. So the people of Jesus' day wanted deliverance from their unfair oppression of the Roman government. They shouted Hosanna, which means save now. And they were looking at him as the promised king and the Messiah. And they were looking for deliverance from that government of that day, right? They had a smaller-minded thing of what was really going to happen. It's easy to understand their frustration about the government that they were living under, right? Most of us have a similar concern about the state of our government. Last Thursday, 3 days after the Covenant School massacre, Biden released a Transgender Day of Visibility proclamation. In it, he read statements that celebrated transgender ideology and sex changes for children. That's the government we're living under now. That's why it's got to change, amen? Amen? He acknowledged that transgender Americans shape our nation's soul. What a blasphemy. The only thing that should shape our nation's soul is the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? But after Jesus' resurrection, he commissioned his church to go beyond Judea, go beyond Samaria, and ultimately to the ends of the earth. This is the same commission that we have today to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus, because that is the only thing that's going to change this world. They're trying to do it in their own way. They're trying to move us, everybody, away from God, but God is the answer to every problem this world has today. Amen? And they're being exposed for the idiocracy, if that's the word, that they have. It doesn't even make sense, but that's what happens when you're blind. You can't see what's in front of you. They are so blinded by the devil, they don't realize what they're doing. That's why it's more important than ever for us as a church to stand up and be the light of the world. And whatever our shouts have to be, "Lord, come, Lord Jesus, Hosanna in the highest. Jesus, you come on in this situation." He is ready to manifest himself in any situation where people will just dare to believe him and bring about the change that needs to happen. Amen? Amen. You know, a lot of people, Jesse has said it so often. He says, you know, a lot of people tell him that things have fallen apart. He says, no, it's really fallen into place. And although we all know if we read Bible prophecies, we see then it's going to get a lot worse. And so it's so important for us to recognize who we are and what we're called to do. No matter how hard it looks out there, no matter how many voices are saying the opposite, we have to be determined to be a voice of truth to our world. Amen? We can't be silent. Although in that day, so many people didn't want to accept Jesus because they were afraid of being excommunicated from the Jewish synagogue. But there were a lot of believers that believed in him, that shouted and praised him. Amen? The sad truth is that just a week later, a lot of some of those same people would be changed and manipulated to cry out, "Crucify him." Some of them did not. They stuck with him, but they were quiet. They hung around the edges. Even all of his disciples left him and were scattered and hiding, right? But we have to learn, just as this was all part of God's plan, in the same way, part of God's plan today is for us to stand up as believers and take hold of the promises that God has given us and speak boldly about what he can do in their life. We can make sure that we're a voice of reason in the world. Amen. But always do it with love. Don't take the bait and jump into the plan that the enemy has to tear you apart. He's always wanting to divide and subtract, but God wants to build us up and strengthen us. So we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and know when to speak, know when to pray, and know when to stand up. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're called to do. The only thing that should shape our nation's soul is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 12 again. Are y'all enjoying this today? As a church, we are under a divine command to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to proclaim the truth in every nation, including our own. Yes. Amen? Amen? John chapter 12, I just want to read verse 36 and 37, and then we'll read another verse, and that'll be our last verse for this message. John chapter 12, verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, have faith in it, hold on to it, rely on it, that you may become the sons of the light and be filled with the light. Jesus said these things, and then he went away and hid himself from them, was lost to their view. So he came and said what he needed to say and build us up. But this purpose, I wanted you to hear this verse today because it's so important for us to realize that God has called us to be a light in this dark place, amen? And especially today on this Palm Sunday, to remember that the message is worth proclaiming. Yes. And we need to be shouting out louder than ever that Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the light, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, amen? Amen? That's what we're called to do. That's what happens. You see, the greatest error for people is to see the light and reject it. Whenever revelation comes, we must believe. If we refuse to believe, the light will disappear. So the less you want to see, the less you will see. So if you choose to not see, you're going to stay in darkness all your life. But we can make a decision that we want to see. We want to see what God is saying. Open our eyes, Lord, to the truth. And Lord, you know, this is a prayer you can pray for everybody. You can pray this prayer. The Bible tells us that the God of this world has blinded the minds of people lest they should see the light of the gospel and be born again. That's the prayer I prayed for my husband that was living in darkness. I was living with him. I loved him. I got born again about 2 years before he did. And so here I was, light, living with darkness. He didn't like to hear that, but it's the truth. But some of us are in that situation. We're connected to other people that are really walking in a wrong way. But we have a responsibility to stand up for the truth and realize that we can use the word of God. We can take authority, use our authority that God has given us to pull down those strongholds, to open up the eyes. So I would pray that prayer. Say, Father, I thank you that I have power and authority in the earth. And I tell Satan, I tell you, I stop you. I rebuke you from blinding Jesse's eyes to the truth. And I command the light of the gospel to go forth into his eyes. Let him see you. And I prayed that, and I declared it, and I continued to stick with it. It was almost 2 years later that finally one day he said, I told him, why don't you watch Billy Graham with me? And he said, why would I want to do that? I know y'all may have heard this many times, but it's still always good for me to say it. Because this just illustrates how light can overpower darkness. If light will just decide to shine. If this place was pitch black and I had just my little telephone that just what got turned on, this little square box or rectangle box would just bring light, it would show. Any bit of light changes it. It's no longer all dark. There's light in that place. And the more lights come together, if all of us would like even bring our little iPhones, which how many people have an iPhone? Come on out. I know you mostly have some similar device. We'd all come together with kind of brightness. We'd even need these lights here. We could see. But when we all come together and let the light that is within us shine, it changes the situation. People that were in darkness all of a sudden could see, yeah, there is an answer. They can recognize, look, I've been going down the wrong road for too long. I need to make a change. I need to turn around and give God a try. I've tried everything else. Let's give God a try. Amen. That's what the gospel's all about. And I guarantee you, if you give God a try, give him your best try. Not just a halfway try. Get in there with both feet and a full understanding that he is God. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, the very creator of the whole world. Came in the form of a little baby. We all tell this story at Christmas. Came in the form of a little baby so he could experience what we experienced. He put on immortality, put on flesh. He became mortal because he had a journey to take. His journey to the cross paid the price for us. And because of what he did on the cross, we can live forever. We can live eternally, but we can also live as overcomers in this world. I tell you, you have a voice. God has empowered you with a message that somebody needs to hear. I don't care if you think you're insignificant. That's what the devil's always trying to tell you. He's trying to shut you up, trying to cancel you, tell you your voice doesn't matter. But I'm telling you what, if we would all rise up, we'd have such a chorus of praise and adoration that the world could not handle. We need to be shouting it out from the rooftops. Hallelujah! Hosanna in the highest. Save now, Lord, send it. I love the way the Amplified says, send, Lord, now prosperity. Ooh, people don't want to talk about that. But we need this in the world to live and to be an example of what God wants us in the world. While he was in the world, he sent out the 12. Then he sent out the 70. And when they came back, he said, did you lack anything? He told them, don't take anything with you, but you go out with the message. And when they went out with the message, they came back and reported all the things that they saw. And he said, did you lack anything? No, sir.
Thank you for watching today. I want to tell you about our April partner offer. It's titled The Revelation That Destroyed Satan's Plan. You know, the enemy knew that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but he didn't know he was the Son of God. Oh, and I'll prove that to you in that word. The Bible says that if Satan had known, he'd have never crucified him. Isn't that great? There's great revelation in this message. Get your copy today at jdm.org.
Are you ready to revive your spiritual life? My book, The Power of Prayer, is loaded with personal stories and biblically based principles that will equip you to start enjoying the abundant life Jesus died to give to you. You can tap into a clear line of communication with God that will reveal his plan for your life. Never underestimate the power of your faith-filled prayers to unlock the gates of heaven and provide for your victory. The Power of Prayer. Order your copy at jdm.org.
Now, I want you to think about it. Jesus came exactly as predicted, in humility and in righteousness. In God's perfect timing, Jesus presented himself officially to the nation as the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings. Oh, I like that. There's more to this message for you to enjoy. If you want to see it all you got to do is go to our free JDM app, and you can watch Kathy preach that whole teaching. It will bless you. I love the questions people send me here at JDM. A woman named Jane asked, when Jesus was on the cross in Luke 23:43, it says, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Did Jesus go straight to heaven after he died? No, he went into the bowels and the pits of hell. You go read Psalms 22. He said, will you leave my soul in hell? But you see, that day in paradise, I'm going to tell you something. A day with the Lord is it's 1,000 years. You know, we think of 24 hours. It's more than that, you know. But I'll tell you one thing, my God, he didn't stay there. He had to redeem man from his sin. That's why he went. He paid the price. He paid the penalty. You got the blessing. My God, I'm starting to preach again, huh? I love Kathy's book, The Power of Prayer. It's our April product offer, and I encourage you to get it. It will guide you to an intimate, effective communication with God. If you want to see the Lord move powerfully in your life, prayer is your answer. How you get it? Go to JDM.org for all the ordering information. I tell you, it's a great book. Kathy writes very well. It's a blessing. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support to this ministry. It is such a blessing. You know, I've said it so many times, for every dollar given to this ministry, I want a soul into the kingdom. I produce that, ladies and gentlemen. And I mean that pridefully. God said, go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he told me one time, he said, I count my wealth by the souls I possess. Now, Jesse, make me wealthy. Go get it. I said, Lord, I am yours to command. And I do that with every faithful donation you send. 100% of what you send goes into world evangelism. We're debt-free. Isn't that a blessing to God? Now, next week, man, we got an Easter message entitled The Resurrection, a place of life, a place of comfort, and a place of hope. Thank you, partners, for keeping us on television all these years. What a blessing to God. I'm going to get somebody saved today because of your donation. See you next week. Bye-bye.
I made up my mind to be a witness to all nations, to get this gospel preached to the end of the world for a witness. And the Bible says the end shall come. So all I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, spiritually, physically, financially, is enhancing Jesus to come quicker.
Looking forward to the great return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to need every one of us to be enlisted in on the front lines of doing what we're called to do so that they can see that Jesus is indeed real today.
This gospel is for all, anywhere, any nation, anywhere, and everywhere. The urgency of time will not wait for anyone. It will not. So when I see these things, I go, oh, it challenges me to move farther, further, faster, and higher.
Life-changing. I mean, Brother Jesse just always brings an amazing word.
There's such a connection when you come here.
This is our personal time just to get vision.
Visionary conference full of faith, full of hope.
Come expecting, because your expectancy will be increased.
Don't miss Jesse DePlantis 2025 Visionary Conference, July 10th and 11th at JDM International Headquarters in Destrehan, Louisiana.
Think of the heaviness that was on Christ, because what held him on the cross was not the nails in his hands, but the sins that was on his body, which was our sin, their sin, the past sins, the present sins, and the sins of the future. So think about it. It took 3 days, almost exactly 3 days, because of the great ransom that had to be paid.